Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn, and I'd like to invite you personally to join me and Breadbox Media on August 24th in New Oxford, Pennsylvania, for a day of spiritual renewal. I'll be presenting three talks, one on St. Joseph, one on the sacrament of matrimony, and another one on the Holy Eucharist. Learn more and register at breadboxmedia.com/PA conference. I hope to see you there.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Welcome to Live a Little, episode 16. The kids are finally asleep. It's almost 10 at night, and we had our first day of homeschooling. And we played outside in the pool, and it was a long, long day for Mama. So I may be messing up my sentences, so forgive me. Today we will be talking about homeschooling because that's what's been on my mind lately. We've just decided to pull out our three children from the public school. Our oldest went to second grade last year. Second oldest went to kindergarten, and another one went to preschool. So he wasn't technically part of the public school system, but we still pulled them out as well. We have four kids, and I just wanted to share why we ended up homeschooling despite both mine and my husband's reluctance. And maybe this will be an encouragement to other families who are struggling with this decision. So before we start, let us pray for our babies. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. O Heavenly Father, I commend my children to thy care. Be thou their God and Father, and mercifully supply whatever is lacking in me through frailty or negligence. Strengthen them to overcome the corruptions of the world, whether from within or without, and deliver them from the secret snares of the enemy. Pour thy grace into their hearts, and strengthen and multiply in them the gifts of thy Holy Spirit, that they may daily grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and so faithfully serving thee here may come to rejoice in thy presence hereafter. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Great prayer, by the way. It's just we always need to remember that the Lord always pick up the slack when we lack. Thankfully, we don't have to do this all alone. We have a wonderful Heavenly Father to aid us in this endeavor. Okay, before maybe talk about my children, I can tell you a little more about how schooling was in Turkey and how my husband received schooling when he grew up in the Midwest. So I'm 39, so I started school when I was 7. So it's 1987, basically, back in Turkey. And Turkey, even though, you know, predominantly Muslim and a lot more inclined to the capitalist system now, back then, it was very socialistic in its outlook that every child had to go to school, private or public, and it was mostly public. There wasn't a private school in the town I grew up in. That was a town in the size of 200,000. So it wasn't very common unless you were in a big city. And, you know, healthcare and all that stuff was owned the government. So for totalitarian governments, education is very important. So you had to all... You had to enroll your child into a public school, and homeschool just was unheard of. And part of it is because I believe it's more like a Christian phenomenon, I assume. But anyway, so this is how it was for us. So everybody went to school. We all wore uniforms. Like, I had a very simple black uniform, and we all had to wear, we could only wear white stockings and black shoes. And for girls, we had to braid our hair. And if it's not long enough to braid, then it should be cut short enough that your hair didn't touch your collar. So it was kind of very militaristic in its outlook. And, I don't think uniforms are bad. And I think it takes so much pressure away from children, especially as far as the dress code and all that stuff goes. You know, it's a lot easier to implement a uniform code without angering parents or, kind of creating that difference between the rich and the poor. So I'm all for uniforms, but back then, of course, I hated it. So, and then when we went to the school, I shared a long desk with two other female students. So not everybody had their own desk, and we didn't have lockers, so we had to bring our bags back and forth. And unlike an elementary school you may see in the States, our walls were like gray, a very minimum decorations. Maybe you would see at like map of Turkey or something, but it's like, it was very regimented. So we would all go in, we were required to arrive before our teacher. And when the teacher comes in, it's absolute silence and everybody stands up. It's like, again, it's like in that like regimented militaristic style that when your superior comes in, you shut your mouth and then you stand up. It's a sign of respect as well. So that respect to your elder and to your superior at the same time created a very a different atmosphere than I have witnessed in my children's school. There wasn't ever a friendship between the teacher and the student. Everybody kind of knew their places. So that was, it's kind of a double-edged sword, I suppose, because, on the one part, the teachers had a lot more different ways to discipline unruly students. But on the other hand, of course, the learning atmosphere was completely different. So we had 45 minutes of instruction and 15 minutes of recess, and everybody went outside. I mean, we played outside in the cold. We didn't have any snow gear. I had never seen snow pants and like snow boots and those fancy insulated gloves until I moved to America. But we still played outside when it was, below zero. And then we would, go back and forth. And so that's how it was. And basically, it's the same structure in the middle school and high school. Uniforms change, schools change. And we didn't move classrooms. And I hear this is like a big time waster in public schools. I don't know anything about private schools, so this is only my experience, like 3 years of experience with public schools. So excuse my ignorance. So only teachers came to us unless it was a chemistry lab that like you couldn't bring all the chemistry or biology material to the classroom. Other than that, always the teacher came to the student. And I think, that saved a lot of time. I can see that it was an efficient way of doing things. So that's how I grew up, basically. Never heard of homeschooling. Even when I heard about it in Turkey from other Protestants, I had never seen it done. So I had never seen a child who was homeschooled. So anyway, we got married, moved here, and then I meet my husband, who also comes from a broken family. And then school was kind of his happy place in a way. And this is, again, he's about 5 years older than me. So he started school, I say, early 1980s. And So this is before all the drugs and all the craziness we complain about hit. So it was his happy place. And he was, you know, he has a very optimistic, happy, wonderful disposition. And he makes friends easily. I mean, and I'm sure it was similar back then. And he was, you know, he was a football player. So it was the school was a place he flourished, and he liked it. So we both grew up in different parts of the world with this idea that the school is a good place, and we were never exposed to anything else. So, and on top of that, you kind of hear all these like horror stories about homeschool children, how they're not socialized, they don't know how to talk, they don't know how to act, and you kind of develop this prejudice against the unknown, basically. So, of course, after we became Catholic, we kind of thought about this before we got married, but we didn't have a lot of reason to think about it, really, until, of course, we had children. So several things happened once we had our first one. He ended up having a speech impediment. It's like a mild case of apraxia of speech. For a long time, he couldn't say anything. And even when he was 4 or 5, we couldn't understand him very well. I could understand him mostly 80% of the time as his mother. But if you just talk to him when he was 4, a stranger would maybe understand 30% of what he said, which is very low for that age. They should be a lot more articulate. So that was one problem. And I found motherhood very hard. I struggled with it. If you've read my book, you know that I had never imagined to become a wife and a mother and a stay-at-home mother. These were not my choices, and the Lord brought me to this place through obedience and closing many doors that I knocked on these doors to open, and he didn't, because he knew this was the best for me and for my family and more children. Surprise! The world isn't, you know, life isn't about me. But anyway, but when I was struggling with it, I had a toddler, a 2-year-old, and our son, I'm going to call him Jay. Jay was very active child, and he couldn't also express himself very well. So that created a very bad combination. And then we had Em, our daughter. It was just too overwhelming for me. I felt very isolated, very lonely. I couldn't make friends. You know, I'm living in a different country. But I also hear that this is a struggle common to many new moms before we kind of accept our new role as parents in life. Right? Like suddenly you were living for yourself. Suddenly one day you become a parent, and this tiny little thing is absolutely dependent on you. And it's, you make all these decisions for him or her, and it's hard. It's a big responsibility. So I struggled with the motherhood, and the thought of homeschooling was overwhelming. I could not wait until they started school. I couldn't. I mean, I hate to say it, but also at the same time, I know that when I talk about homeschooling where we live, which not many people homeschool, the reaction of many parents is like, I can't wait till my kids go to school, which is sad, but also it's a reality, because parenting is hard. We feel overwhelmed and lonely, and school is a place that offers us some relief from that pressure. So that's struggling with motherhood. And when my son started to go a special needs, they called it a child alert school, because he was very delayed in speech, and that resulted in him being delayed in a few other areas. He really flourished in this special needs classroom, and his speech got better. He overcame all his academic problems. It was beautiful. It was beautiful to see him get better and better, and he loved his teachers. It was beautiful. So I just never had any reason to even consider homeschooling. So he continued on to kindergarten. Everything went well. First grade, everything went well. And second grade. So by the time he's in second grade, so Jay is 8. He turned 8 last February. He's in second grade. Everything is well. His speech is still delayed, his articulation, basically. But other than that, he's at the same level with all his peers. So a few things happened when he hit the second grade. Around December last year, we started getting calls from his teacher, which has never happened. He always had great grades, no problems. And his behavior went down because he kind of formed this little gang with two other friends, and they were causing a lot of trouble, and his grades started to go down. So we had this constant back and forth with his teacher. Every time he came home at 3 o'clock every day, I kind of dreaded them coming home, because now I had to discipline him even more. Like, I didn't see him all day. And then when he comes home, all we do is discipline, because he didn't listen. He got in trouble. So, like, there was no way. And he is, you know, again, he's a good kid. And I know a lot of, you know, parents say this, but he's really a good kid. So it wasn't like a bullying thing. He was very distracted. And he wanted to make everybody laugh, and he was just doing all silly things and distracting other students, and he got a D for the first time, and I couldn't believe that he got a D. And when I asked him questions about this test, he already knew everything. So and when I talked to his teacher, she said, look, I don't think he even read it. He's really bored with the material. So like, what do you mean? She and for the first time all this time, we are thinking like he's delayed in so many levels that we were told that his intellect was above average. Like, okay, can you give him more work? How much exercise does he get? So remember, he's a very, very active kid. I mean, and he doesn't need much sleep, which was another thing I had to kind of accept in life, that this kid had dropped his naps when he was 2.5. It was hard. I needed counseling, the fact that he didn't take 2-hour naps in the middle of the day for mama. Anyway, so that was interesting. But the teacher said they had only 30 minutes of recess a day, and the only tool they had to discipline children was to take the recess away. So these three troublemakers are so pent, what's that? They had this pent up energy in them. They needed to exercise, but the punishment for needing to exercise is taking the only occasion that they could actually exercise. It's crazy, but the teachers, they couldn't put him to timeout. They had like no tools to discipline these children. Of course, most of these children are also coming from this really bad backgrounds. So what happens is they don't listen. They have no respect for the elder, their elders. And when the teacher calls the parents, parents don't do anything. So it's like this vicious cycle. So these teachers are stuck in this really weird place. And as you see, I haven't even talked about the curriculum yet, because we haven't had any trouble with this, you know, LGBTQ ABC stuff. Like, we didn't have that, hasn't come into our school yet, because we live in this small town, right? It's kind of a conservative part of the family. Nobody's going to put up with it. So that was our concern, and we thought about that, maybe we will pull them out, but it was kind of in a distant future. So that was one thing. And other than that, to be honest, we didn't have much problem in general with the school. It's a small classroom, wonderful teachers, they pay attention to the kids, but it's the change in the society is inevitably reflected in the culture of the school. But it's not just the curriculum, not just the teachers. What kind of children are they exposed to? And my 8-year-old does not have the tools, emotional, intellectual, spiritual tools to deal with that kind of influence yet. So this is not like how my husband's childhood was. You know, the influence is completely different. It's so much stronger. So many children in my 8-year-old Jade's class has iPhones, internet on them. It's like, it's a matter of time before he's exposed to pornography. Now, the average age has dropped to 8 or 9. I mean, this is ridiculous. These children have, they're all playing Fortnite and all these first shooter games. And don't get me wrong, you know, we are not a no-screen family. And I use the cartoons often enough, too often enough, probably, than better for my children to babysit so I can get a break. So we are not an on-screen family. They play video games, they have a Nintendo Switch, and we travel to an hour and a half to go to Latin Mass. They have tablets for the car. So it's not an on-screen family, but I don't want them on the internet at age 8. I don't want them to watch pornography. I don't want them to watch violence, gory stuff that they're inevitably going to get exposed. It didn't happen last year, and I'm very grateful for that. And also, everybody has an iPad. Like, I want to be in charge of the time that they stare at a screen. You know what? If I want to give them an extra hour, I want to be the one. I send them to school for 7 hours a day. And if they're going to stare at a screen 3 hours of that time, this is no good for me. I'm sorry, but I don't care what kind of blockers you put on it. It's still too much. So these are all small contributing factors. So our homeschooling adventure wasn't like, okay, this like big, huge conviction. Which, I mean, looking back, I do wish it was, but it didn't. Everybody has a different journey, and this was our journey. The only thing that has ever come up with the teachers was when he was in first grade. So this is happening last year. He came home with a sheet of yoga poses. It's like this white yoga bunny, and it's all these proper Hindu names. And I'm like, yeah, this is not going to happen. So I talked to the teacher, the gym teacher, and she says, she's this older lady, over 60. She says, oh, he doesn't have to do it. He can just sit on the side. You're going to ask my kid who loves the gym class, sit on the side because you want to teach yoga. It's a Hindu prayer. You can't do that. So anyway, I talked to the principal who was raised Catholic, turned Baptist, and I tell him how, like, these are Hindu prayer positions. You cannot separate the spiritual aspect from the physical aspect, blah, blah, blah. So I got the yoga thing pulled off, but I don't want to do this. I don't want to be that lady who does this stuff and constantly picks, fight with every little thing, because they're looking at it as like not as spiritual problem. They're thinking, oh, she just can't handle little things. She's obsessed with tiny things, you know. So it's like you're trying to function in a completely different culture, in a way. And it took a while for us to see that. So that was the only real problem I had with the teachers. So last November, also we started sending our 4-year-old. We will call him Double M. I need to come up with code names for my children. Anyway, so he started going to preschool. He really wanted to go to school with the other ones. And next thing we know, again, around end of November, his teachers pulled me aside. He said, you know, he can read, right? I'm like, no. Like, I didn't teach him to read. I'm like, my man, you play as long as you want, because once the school starts, the school starts, and there is no ending for that. So I just let them play until, you know, they're ready to learn. But he picked up so much, and they told me that he's gifted. You receive a diagnosis for special needs kids because his intellectual level is so much higher than his emotional level, and he struggles with that. And it explained a lot to us that why he was going through these struggles. And the teacher said, you cannot send him to school here. We're like, there's nowhere else. The closest private school is 30 minutes away. And this is like a Christian school, 30, 35 minutes away. So I would have to haul all my children there and back. And it just wasn't possible, and it will be too expensive, and I can't send just the one kid to private school and let them kind of suffer in the public school. But we can't afford sending all of them to private school. You know, I stay at home with the kids, and, you know, we are a one income family. So it just wasn't possible. The closest Catholic school is like one of those Catholic schools, please take my money and make my children not Catholic. We went to this school for a fish fry one day years ago, and there was national, in quotes, Catholic reporter all over the place. I'm like, I'm not giving them my money. I can't even imagine sending my children there. It's just that bad. And the next good Catholic school is almost 2 hours away. So it's just not even possible. So we considered moving, and, you know, it's not in the books for our family right now, moving or sending them. So this is, I am still struggling with, you know, I am not going to homeschool. I still don't want it. I haven't made it. But this is how the Lord kind of worked it through. Through all those like walls and prejudices. And it really helped that we started going to Latin Mass and actually met people who homeschooled, and hearing their convictions and seeing their normal children, it was a wonderful experience. It's like, okay, you know, we can. And I talked to teenagers who were homeschooled, and I asked them, I was like, did you like it? Did you enjoy it? You know, do you wish your parents did something different? And it's not to say that the children get to decide how their education is going to look like. Obviously, we are in charge of that. But I just wanted to hear the perspectives of those who went through this. And it was all positive. You know, they were like, okay, my mom could have done this differently. But none of them regretted being homeschooled. And they were all pleasant. They could actually carry conversations. You could talk about philosophy and the state of the culture. I mean, I know also many teenagers who went through a public school system, and I don't think their maturity level is above 20. So I was like, oh, socialization isn't a problem, apparently. Or it just was wonderful to see actually homeschooling families and homeschooled children. And it was very, very comforting for us. So, and then the last year, as the year went on, so this is this constant struggle with Jay. He comes home, we discipline. And I just stopped enjoying the company of my children. And I mean, I love my children, right? I stay at home for them. You know, it's just like, I can't wait till they come home. But then when they come home, it's just such a tense environment, because they've been stuck in a classroom or waiting in line or constantly being asked to be quiet, get in line, and all that like kind of stuff too. They just don't want to be quiet and in line and have like a normal conversation when they get home. It just was too much. Like, I had to tell my 8-year-old to go up and down the stairs 10 times, because he just couldn't even compose a proper sentence before he got some of that energy out. And I'm like, this is not structured for boys. It is not. I mean, it just definitely was not structured for my boy, the 8-year-old. And as the year passed, M, 6-year-old girl, is studious and artsy and craftsy as she is, she hated going to school. She was bored. She didn't want to go to school. She didn't want to learn. And she's the studious one out of all the three that have been going to school. And all three of them started this aversion to learning, which is unthinkable to me. Because I loved reading. I read everything I got my hands on. And we just, our library, school library was so small. It was like one bookshelf that I read it by the time I was in fourth grade, the entire library. So I can't even imagine despising learning, but that's the kind of atmosphere this public school created. And I don't want to leave my children there. I don't want them to wait until the school is over at the end of the day, you know, not even the, you know, I understand you miss summer and all that stuff, but it was just, they developed this aversion to school. And one of the things is, it really kind of broke my heart with my 6-year-old, that she came home and she told me about an active shooter drill that they did. And I hated that she had to go through with it at this age. I just hated the thought of it. And I'm like, you know what? It's not that there isn't anything that could happen in our house. God forbid, you know, every day is a gift. Anything could happen to any of my children at any moment. But the fact that she had to learn how to hide behind the desk, be quiet and not scream. At that age, it just brought me to tears. I was just tired of all the problems. And the more I was exposed to homeschooling teachers and the Lord slowly turned mine and my husband's heart as well. He went to and he talked to other fathers who chose to homeschool. So like our reluctance became slowly a desire to homeschool. So what happened is basically we ended the school year with the intention to not sending them back. And we explained to our children, and I told them, okay, this is how homeschooling works. And they were so excited. It's like just 2 or 3 hours a day. We don't have to go to school. I mean, the school in America, the school they go to, it just seems so much more relaxed and enjoyable, colorful arts and crafts and, you know, I don't know, bunnies and glitter, that I was so surprised how reluctant they were. It's almost like you have all these things. Like, why do you not want to go back to school? Right? I mean, it was very hard for me to understand, but I think I needed to see their experience to come around and decide that homeschooling is the best option. And you know what? Again, I said we live in a, you know, small town, small house. We don't get to take these huge vacations, but I don't have to work. And we can make do on my husband's income. And he works really hard for it. And the fact that we can homeschool is such a blessing that I can stay at home. And I know a lot of people don't have that luxury. So I don't want to make anyone feel judged that you, like, my choice is better. But having seen this experience, especially if you have an active boy or a girl that wants to learn, it's like, I think our chance, like our options are getting really, really limited here. Like as good Catholic parents, what do we do under these conditions? Because not good Catholic schools are not accessible to most of us, either financially or, you know, geographically. Like we can't travel there in our case, nor can we afford to send 3 children. So I always try to make sure when I tell people that I'm homeschooling that this is not a judgment upon their own choices of schooling. Like, this is, my children are under my care and I'm responsible for their future and their well-being, and that's what I can only talk about. So I try to talk about for my own experiences. This is how my child is and this is what his or her needs are, and I try not to make it generalized statements to other parents, because it's so easy to feel attacked in a way in this. It's a very personal, because I'm homeschooling, clearly this is the best option, why aren't you? So this is what I try to do with other parents. So if you're homeschooling, I think this is a good way to approach, because I've seen many people get offended. So yes, it is a choice for our family, and I think it is the best choice so far. And the thing is with homeschooling, it's a huge commitment. One of the things I hear again a lot is like, what, they're not gonna go to school 7 hours a day? You're gonna have all 4 of them all day and night long. Yeah, they don't go anywhere. Yes, they live here with me. But weirdly enough, since summer started, it took maybe 3 weeks or so for us to adjust, but I don't fight with my 8-year-old anymore. I don't have to discipline him as often. He obeys so much faster. He is a lot more affectionate and sweet, and it's like I actually enjoy his company. And after a while, my 6-year-old started to kind of, can we look how to do this on YouTube and maybe we can together. So her desire to learn came back. And my 4-year-old, who I had to pull him out before the others because technically he wasn't required to go to preschool, he had kind of developed this extra attachment to me once he started to school. So he got over that, because I don't think he was ready to go to school. Now looking back, that I can see it. And we did put an end to it when we realized that he was too young, despite being gifted, right? He wasn't emotionally ready to separate from me and from his father and the, you know, environment that his family. So what happened is, they are, even though they are with me all the time, we are a better group together, an organic group, that we kind of function better together. And there's a lot more fighting and stress in our house because I don't have to discipline them all the time. So it's completely different. It's, they're more pleasant when they're at home with me all day than when they were gone 7 hours and I had that free time. You know, I still had my toddler. Like, this works out much better. So that's one of the things. So if you're dreading homeschooling because you read it, the thought of having your kids around all the time is just too much for you, there will be an adjustment time. But I think in the end, you will be surprised to see that they will come together. Like, you will come together as a family. And that's what happened to us. That's what happened to us. And it's been beautiful. So I'm not dreading this, like, next year. And so it's a big commitment, right? So, I mean, we can always bring them back to school, but I also am convicted enough that I don't think we will until we can actually find a good Catholic school. And I'm not against schooling. And as I said, both my husband and I, we loved going to school. So I am not against it. And there's so much to be learned. And if we can find a good high school, I think I would rather send him to a good Catholic high school after providing a good foundation. But this may change. I don't know. All these, you know, ideas are floating in my mind. I'm happy to hear from people who's already done this. But that's where we are. So I'm not completely, you know, against it. But it is a huge commitment of time and money. I mean, you spend a lot of money getting the materials together because, again, I said we live in a poorer area. So we hardly ever bought any school supplies. Now, suddenly I have to buy everything, kind of look for curriculums, and everything gets overwhelming because now there's so much stuff. So much stuff is just... it's almost too much. So so there's this financial commitment, time commitment, because, I mean, obviously, one parent has to stay at home to be able to do this, and it's not for everybody, and that's okay. There are other ways to still be involved in your children's life and make sure that they're, you know, brought upright and get to know the Lord. So there are other ways, but we just can't do that. And one of the things I started when it got really overwhelming, when I looked at all these curriculums, I mean, there's so many. I decided to go very easy because I am organizationally challenged. It's as my husband would happily tell you, I don't like organizing things. I couldn't care less where things are as long as I know where they are. I have, you know, in this chaotic place that is my house, I know where everything is. Actually, I don't think I would be able to find things if I put them in cubbies and, you know, labeled everything. So I'm that kind of a person. So this was just such a big world for me. So I decided I will start with reading and math, and I will start very small, very little, and we will slowly build on it. So this today was actually our very first day of homeschooling. We did 45 minutes math. And everybody was at the table, including the toddler, who ended up coloring herself all over herself with a brown marker. I mean, it just looks awful, a happy color. And everybody else's worksheets and the table. So now I know to get a few more other things to occupy the toddler. And it went well. And I gave everybody extra cookies once we were done. And I told them this is going to be typical for our school day. And we will add as time passes and it's, you know, it's cold outside and we don't get to play as much. We will do some more schooling. And they were very happy. They loved homeschooling. They don't want to go back to school so far. Because, I mean, if you can imagine, those memories of not wanting to learn are still fresh in their minds. So they are not looking forward to going back to school, which is funny because I did. I wanted to go back to my uniform, my crazy regimented lifestyle of you know, learning in a Turkish high school, even, which I was really messed up, but even then I wanted to go back. So it's just a completely different different experience for my children. And I was very happy to see that they like doing their work and they were excited to be able to do it. And actually, I should give the public school credit. We are using the Colby Academic curriculum, which is supposed to be a little more strenuous. It's a classical curriculum. But they were okay picking up the math right off. So they may be behind with reading. So I will kind of update that on social media as time goes along, because I'm having fun with it so far. And I'm sure frustrating and annoying days are coming. And I'm sure there will be days that I can't wait till my husband comes home so I can pass the kids on to him and just, you know, take a little break. But so far, so good. And I feel like the Lord has led us here in such small steps that I feel like I have the confidence as a parent, as a mother, and as a teacher, even that with the Lord's help and with much, much, much grace, we can make this happen. So this is our homeschooling journey. And I didn't expect to talk for 40 minutes, but here we are. It's still very exciting and fresh. So let me know if you're homeschooling. I would love to hear your experiences, whether you regretted certain things. If you want to give me any hints or clues, do's or don'ts, I am open to any suggestions. And you can find me on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, and you can also email me at DariaLittle@gmail.com. I would love to hear anything and what you think about our journey as well as reluctant homeschoolers. So that will be wonderful. So thank you very much for listening. Please consider supporting me and my four homeschooling children and my poor, poor husband who has to work really hard for us. And you can go to patreon.com/DariaLittle, and you can support me as little as $2 or as much as, you know, $50 a month, and anything would be appreciated. For next podcast, I am interviewing a convert from Islam again on Sunday. So I am looking forward to hearing her story again, because she has a wonderful story. And I hope you will enjoy it as well. So, you know, stay tuned for that. It won't be just me talking about homeschooling and babbling about all the stuff the Lord has to go through to convince us to do things. It's crazy. Thank you, Lord, for putting up with us. We don't deserve the patience or the grace. So thank you very much for listening. Let's live a little and bring the lost to life together.
Hello, this is International Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.